Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you on this another day, a brand new day that the Lord has made. We thank God for a new day. We thank him for keeping us through last night and all of last week and all of our days. We have been living on God's mercies, God's provision, God's grace, God's power every step of the way. And so we give glory to God. We bless his name on this day. We give glory to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give glory to the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and our guide. And we're trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in truth, to glorify Jesus Christ, to point to the Savior, to show us more and more about Jesus. Jesus is a beautiful Savior, and we thank God for Jesus. And we'll see in this passage today from Luke chapter 12, that the Lord is warning people. He is warning people, doesn't exactly say, come to me, but that is what he is saying. If we have any new people with us this morning, I welcome you in Jesus' name. My name is Velma Sanders, Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I am a teacher at Salem Baptist Church in the Life Development Ministry. Sister Marsha Hall is the Life Development Ministry leader. Reverend Dr. Selwyn Q. Backus is our pastor. However, this class is open up to anyone, regardless of what denomination you may be, whether you're Episcopalian, Lutheran, Methodist, whatever, whether you belong to any denomination at all. We are glad that you are here. This class is open for Christians because all of us need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one of the commands of the Word of God, and as the disciples of Christ, is not only to come to Jesus, but follow him. And we fall short sometimes of telling people you have to come to him. But the second part of that is follow me. And so part of following him is being a student of him and a studier of his word. So I welcome each one of you. Others will be coming. But as you know, time doesn't wait on anyone. So we're going to pray. We'll be in Luke chapter 12. Lord willing, we will conclude this chapter this morning. I will preface that by saying there is much, much more that could be said in any of God's word, including the lesson that he's given for today. But we need to keep moving on. So that's my goal for today, is to conclude Luke chapter 12. I encourage you on next week, for next week, to read Luke chapter 13 and try to see in Luke chapter 13, what is the flow? What is the flow of chapter 13? Because you know, when Luke first wrote the book, Luke didn't stop and say, let me put a 13 here. He just kept right on recording. So I encourage you to read Luke chapter 13, but keep in mind the context of what we have read in Luke chapter 12. Also keep in mind, for those of you who have been with us in class for quite a while, Becca joined us since we've been in Luke 12. But for those of us who've been in class, we are still in one single day of Jesus's life. This one day of his started in Luke chapter 11. It was on that day. Let's go back to Luke 11 for a moment. And I haven't forgotten to pray. In Luke chapter 11, at the very beginning of Luke chapter 11, Jesus had taught his disciples how to pray. And then it went on in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus began to expound on prayer. And then you go on and on with Luke 11. Then it flows into Luke 12. And we'll see next week Luke 13. But we are still in the one day. It's one day of Jesus's life. So having said that, let's go to God in prayer. Blessed God, we praise you. We give you glory and honor. We can never praise you enough. If we said over and over again, hallelujah. If we said over and over again, glory to God. If we said over and over again, blessed be the name of the Lord. If we said over and over again, you are worthy to be praised. If we said day and night, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, it would not be enough. You are eternally worthy to be praised. And for that, we say thank you. We thank you above all for Jesus, that you would love us enough that you would send your son to pay our debt, sin debt in full. How we give you glory. We thank you that Jesus came to die so that we might live. We thank you that Jesus lives so we might live and that we might be transported into your presence at the point of death. We thank you, Lord, that we have peace with you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray for one another and for every need in this class, not only my needs, but everybody else in here has a need. And so we lift up our needs before you. We pray for the absent part of us. We pray for whatever's going on in their lives, that they are aware of you and that they will be consciously aware and know that God is with me. We thank you. You're that kind of God that can be with all of us, giving all of us full attention all day and all night. How we praise you and give you glory. Now, Lord, lead us and guide us in truth. Lead me, guide me, freshly anoint me, that I might be able to teach your word. Make it plain to us, Lord. And by your spirit, may we not only be hearers of the word, but may we be doers as well. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, on last week, we started Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 59. Which is the last portion of this chapter, Luke chapter 12. Now, if you have noticed, and maybe you haven't noticed, I like to give out outlines, themes, and that's something when you're reading chapter 13, notice what would you say are some of the themes of chapter 13. But in Luke chapter 12, we have seen, and I don't think I've said this before, but one of the themes that has emerged in Luke chapter 12 is the theme of final judgment. The theme of final judgment. And we especially see that starting at verse 35 all the way through verse 59, where final judgment comes up over and over and over again. Now, you have heard me say, all of you have heard me say, and it is very true. I like to go through those alls, A-L-L, and we have learned all sin, and we know that by experience. We know it, we were taught it, but we know it by experience. All sin, then we know as a result of that, all die. We know that as well, too. All die. There's no guarantees any of us will make it through this hour. Or make it through this week, all die. But then we have found out also, not only do all die, but all will be raised. All will be raised from the dead. That includes saint and sinner, irregardless of race, irregardless of your beliefs, irregardless of your political affiliation, irregardless of how much money you make, irregardless of your status in life. You could be the Pope, the Queen, the King, the President. You could be whatever. All sin, all die. All will be raised. And that last thing is all will be judged. And that's what we're seeing here in Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 49. Now, I need you to keep in mind, because we need to think as God's people, we need our minds transformed, where we think and live from an eternal perspective. So many people are so short-sighted, and I've been there and even probably no doubt am still there to some degree. But the older I get, and reflect back on my life and then look ahead, and some of you have heard me say this, I am so and so many years old. Well, I'm over the halfway point in my life. And so I know I'm not going to live another so many years. And it won't be long before I will be before the judge. That judge being the judgment seat of Christ. I will be judged. And I need you to start thinking and living from that perspective to not set your affections on things on this earth. Because everything on this earth we have to leave. Or it'll leave us. Don't set your affections on things on this earth, because they cannot satisfy. We thank God for every blessing. We thank God for our homes. We thank God for the chairs he's given us. We thank God for all these blessings, but none of them can satisfy the soul. And so we need to have an eternal perspective, setting our affections on things above. And so now today, as we look at these final verses in Luke chapter 12, let's back up for a moment and see this theme of final judgment in Luke 12, verses 35 through 59. Well, we found out there was this master, and he was going away on a journey. That's in Luke 12, 35, 36. And it says, be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding. And we know that's talking about Jesus's second coming. It is an analogy. It is a parable talking about the master will return. But whether you're talking about the second coming or death or the rapture, we have to stand before God. And verses 35 through 40 let us know we are to be ready. We are to live our lives from the standpoint, from the vantage point of being ready to leave here, that the Lord is coming, and we don't know the second, we don't know the hour. And you just look at that tragedy that happened on last week in Florida. Death was just that quick, and it can be just that quick for any of us and for that group of people and so many more. There was no time to get ready. You had to be ready. When death came, there's no second chances after death. You have to be ready. And so that's what verse 40 tells us. You, and you have to make it personal, also be ready for the Son of Man, or we could say death, for the Son of Man, or death, but the Son of Man is coming, and he's coming at an hour you do not expect. So we have to be ready. And when he comes back, he's going to judge. And that's what he did to the servants in this passage. But then we went on down to verse 41 through 48. And we met up with a faithful steward, and we met up with three that were unfaithful, and they were judged. They had to die, of course, but then they were judged, because that's when judgment comes. The final judgment is after death. One was obedient to the Lord. One was doing what he was supposed to be doing. That's in verse 43, where verse 43 says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. And we need to stress more and more as believers, yes, we are saved by grace through faith. Praise the Lord. Yes, we are saved. For if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe with thy heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you can be saved. You shall be saved. But we need the whole Bible. It's still, you must do. You know, it's one thing to believe with a mental assent, but you have to believe and have faith in Jesus to the point that you are following him. You have to follow him. And that following him encompasses doing what he says. And so that's in verse 43 is the doing. Well, we found out that the one servant, he was doing, and he was blessed with a great reward. But then there were other three more servants. They didn't do what the master told them to do, and they were judged accordingly, according to the knowledge God had given to them. They were judged, but those unfaithful stewards ended up lost, eternally damned in hell. And there are only two ways. It's either you'll end up condemned and damned or eternally blessed through Jesus. So today we'll be concentrating on verses 49 through 59, which has to do again with final judgment. Let me read the passage. I came, Luke chapter 12, verse 49, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Jesus is talking, and he says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Now, that word division there, and I'm stopping, but that word division, we just noticed in the passages starting at verse 35, there is a division. There was a separating. There was either one was doing or not doing. One was faithful or not faithful. There was a division. Verse 51, do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather, and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. And so that ends, this passage ends on final judgment. On last week, I gave out my outline for this passage. And we saw in verses 49, 50, and 51, three mission statements of Jesus, three objectives, three reasons why Jesus came. Now, there are other missions that he had, of course, but here in Luke 12, he gives us these missions. Mission number one, verse 49, he came, Jesus tells us, I came to send fire on the earth. So that's one mission of his, is to send fire. But then he lets us know in verse 50, he has a baptism to be baptized with. That's mission number two, is his baptism. Not talking about water baptism, but talking about the baptism of suffering and his death, of partaking and the wrath of God being laid upon him. That was mission two, that baptism of suffering and death. And then in verse 51, his third mission in this passage is, he tells us that he came to send division. And that's what Jesus does. He divides. He divides. And that's because people either choose to follow Jesus or they do not follow him. They choose to study his word or they do not choose to study his word. They choose to draw nigh to God or they stay afar from him. And so that is division. Jesus is a divider. Now we're going to look at quite a few scriptures this morning, looking at verse 49. Jesus said, I came to send fire. And I ask you to think about, what does fire do? Well, fire is a big study. We could stay on this study for a month of Sundays, but we don't have a month of Sundays. So fire, in a nutshell, fire, it consumes and it destroys. This is part one. Fire consumes and it destroys that which is profane, that which defiles, that which is not lasting. Fire destroys and consumes that which is profane, that which is defiling, and that which is not lasting. Fire consumes it. But on the other hand, the same fire can purify, and fire sanctifies that which is holy. Fire purifies and fire sanctifies. And that means when we go through the trials that we go through in life, well, it's burning up some things in our lives that needs to be burned up, but it's purifying us and it's sanctifying us as well. So fire has two aspects, and there are more, but in this study, two aspects. It either consumes or it either sanctifies. And all of us on our way to judgment are going to meet up, even ourselves, with some fire. Not hellfire. If we're in Jesus, we don't have to fear hellfire. Praise God. But we do will meet up with some fire at the judgment seat of Christ. So let's look at that first of all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to see this fire that's going to meet up with us at the judgment. And it's going to be doing exactly what I said. It's going to burn up that which is not holy, that which defiles, but it's going to sanctify. And fire proves things. It tries things and it proves things. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Well, we got to start at 11. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So that lets us know we are believers. We have trusted in the Lord Jesus as our Savior and our Redeemer. So he is all of our foundation if we have trusted in him and his saving work of grace on Calvary's cross. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw. Now, the building process is taking place right now in life. We are building on our foundation. And we're either building with the material of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Then verse 13 tells us, each one's work, that means each of us individually, our work will become clear. It's going to become clear how? For the day, that's the day of judgment, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, this has nothing to do with salvation. We have the foundation. We are saved. But when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, however God's going to do it, all our works will be piled up. And then however God's going to do it, this fire is going to be set to our works. Thelma, how are you? Why are you teaching Sunday school? Did you prepare for Sunday school? Are you teaching it with a sincere heart? Are you teaching it to help others? Are you teaching it to be seen? All the people can see is I'm teaching it. But God's going to set his fire to Velma's teaching Sunday school. And he's going to test it. And that's true of you too and your work. The fire will be set to Velma's teaching and all her works. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. In other words, is it a work of gold? Is it a work of silver, precious stones? Or is it wood, hay, or just straw? Verse 14, if anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. So that says, after my works have been through the fire, if it's anything left, we will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, and some of those works we've done will be burned up. And look at the categories in verse 12. There is gold, silver, precious stones. Then it divides into that which can be burned up. And that which can be burned up is wood, hay, and straw. And you notice those things take up more room. So everything that looks big doesn't mean it is big in God's sight. Now, it could be big and great, but don't get fooled by outward appearances. Just because something is big, wood takes up more room than gold, silver, precious stones. Wood, you need space. Hay, you need space. Straw, space. It takes up more space. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned. Now notice it's the work is burned, not the person, not the believer. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. And so all of us at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to meet up with some fire too, because fire is testing things. That's what fire does. It tests and it proves whether it stands or whether it will perish. And so that's the fire that we will meet up with. Now let's go back, and I have a feeling, I need to say this right now, that we may not finish this chapter this morning, and that's okay. Let's go back to the first appearance of fire that I found, and I won't say I found, it was the Spirit that revealed it to me. Let's go back to Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. This is the first appearance of fire in the Bible. Now, it doesn't say fire. It uses other words, but it's fire. Genesis chapter 3, and I said verse 22, but we want 22 through 24. And the passage here has happened after Adam and Eve have sinned. They have did what God told them not to do, to eat of the forbidden fruit. And now we're going to see the first appearance of fire. Because fire comes to do what? It's going to come to test and to judge. But let me also say this. Fire is a manifestation of how God reacts towards sin. Towards sin, fire, God's fire comes. And that's why there will be a hell with fire and the lake of fire, God's reaction and his manifestation towards sin. And we see it first appearing in Genesis chapter 3, after mankind had sinned in Adam. Verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he, Adam, put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him, Adam, and we in Adam, sent him out of the Garden of Eden. Now, you all notice there's a division. Because judgment, when judgment comes and fire comes, there's a division. Well, what's the division here? Adam and Eve, who were in the Garden of Eden, sin came. And as a result of sin, verse 23, the Lord God sent him, Adam and Eve, out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man. You know, man didn't want to leave that paradise, but God drove out the man. And he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden. Here comes our fire. And a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And so you see, this is the first example of fire coming, God's response to sin. God is holy. God is just. God never winks or excuses sin. There must be a judgment that comes, and God's holiness brings forth this fire. Now, God, in his grace, he didn't burn up Adam and Eve. That's grace, because he could have consumed them. But But what God did, he drove them out of Eden, and then he set these cherubs there. He placed cherubim at the east of the garden and a flaming sword. And I don't know how long those blades were, but however long, it didn't matter if they were long or short. It was a flaming sword turning every way to guard the way of the tree of life. And so we see what has happened because of sin. Man has been barred from this paradise, and man has been driven out of Eden, and this fire comes forth through this flaming sword. Now let's go to the next example of fire on my list. Is in Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And Genesis 19, we're going to look at just a couple of verses. Verse 24. Now, while we're turning to Genesis 19, fire means a whole lot of things in the Bible. God himself is a consuming fire. That is told us in Hebrews, that God is a consuming fire. God himself is a consuming fire. Fire is a type of the Holy Spirit. We know that on the day of Pentecost, where the flame tongues like flames of fire set upon each of them. And then Revelation chapter 4 tells us, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So God himself is a fire. The Holy Spirit, he's given symbolically as fire. The word of God is a fire. You know, Jeremiah said he tried to be quiet, but the word was in him like a fire shut up in his bones. So fire means many things, but we are talking about fire in light of God judging because of sin. So in Genesis, let's look at Genesis chapter 19, and this is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're not going to read that whole passage, but if you have not, you should. Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. And this is after God, he was getting Lot out of Sodom. 19:24. Then the Lord rained. You all think of rain. You know, we know rain. We know all about rain. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire. Now, you got to think, it's raining. You know, I remember, this tells my age again, but I can remember when we would hear, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. You better get ready for something. It's going to rain. No more water, but fire next time. And there was a song we'd sing, and it was talking about Noah and how Noah said, it's going to rain. And the song said, no more water, but fire next time. And so that's still to be fulfilled, that God will one day rain fire on this earth because of sin. But a type of it is in Genesis 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. And so we see fire coming down from God as a result of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. So sin comes, fire comes as a manifestation of God's holiness and his reaction to sin. And by the way, he's the same God today that he was on yesterday. And you all keep that in mind. You got to stay with the word of God. Don't be persuaded by this world system, because the world and Satan is trying to change minds. But we stand on God's word. Verse 3. Next example, Exodus. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. If God said it, it's true. Exodus chapter 3. Genesis, Exodus. And all our books will be going to this morning. You just keep going to the right. So Exodus chapter 3, another example of fire and the holiness of God in reaction to sin. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. Now, by the way, the angel of the Lord is one in the Godhead. And that's one of his names, the angel of the Lord, whether it's the Father, the Son, or the Spirit, but it is God. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Moses, in a flame of fire. So we see God appeared to Moses, how? In a flame of fire from the midst of the bush, of a bush. So we know this as the burning bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush. God called to him from the midst of the bush. That's an angel of the Lord. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Holiness, verse 5. Then he, God, said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Then he goes on to say, I am the God of your father. So let's stop right there. God is holy. God is pure and holy. He cannot take sin. He doesn't take it. It's manifested in some way. His reaction to sin is in fire. But here he's telling Moses, take the shoes, the sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Let's go on to chapter 19, Exodus chapter 19. Verse 18, Exodus 19. Now, we're not going to go through every single passage, but I want to build this foundation here. Exodus chapter 19, verse 18. Exodus 19, verse 18. And this is right before the giving of the Ten Commandments. So in Exodus chapter 19, verse 18, if you haven't read this, you need to read this too. It is good. Okay, Exodus 19, verse 18 is more than good, but it also is good. Exodus 19, 18. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. So that's the manifestation of God. God comes down to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai completely in smoke. Because God, the Lord, came down upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And then it goes on talking about God, and he's getting ready to give these Ten Commandments. God's getting ready to deal with sinful man and give these commandments. Let's go on over to Numbers. Let's go to the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And let's go to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Numbers 11, beginning at verse 1. And it reads, Numbers 11, verse 1. Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. So notice that the people complained, so we'll say they sinned. They sinned, and God doesn't like sin ever, but he complained, they complained, it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it. He didn't give a second chance. There's not always a second chance. We need to stop saying that too. There's not always second chances. This time it displeased the Lord. he heard it, his anger was aroused. Now that word aroused there, keep in mind what Jesus said in Luke 12. Jesus said in Luke 12, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. So that lets us know when Jesus came at his first coming, he came to send fire. And the fire has been lit. We know that because there's a division going on right now between holy and unholy, between saved and lost, between obedience and disobedience. There's division going on. The fire has been set, but it's not fully ablaze. Not now, because we're in the day of grace. We're in the day of grace, thank God. We're in the day of salvation, but the fire has already been set, God's judgment of sin. And so here in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, when the people complained and displeased the Lord heard it, his anger was aroused. And see, now God is angry every day with the wicked, but we're in the day of grace. But the day will come again when his anger will be aroused, and that will bring on the tribulation period and final judgment. So it says in verse 1, his anger was aroused. So what did God do? So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. So that lets us know, we don't want to say it, but we need it. It's what it is. God burned up some people. He burned up some people. And verse 2 says, then the people cried out to Moses. And when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. So once again, it's a reaction of God towards sin. Now I could go on with many other scriptures, but let's go back to Luke chapter 12, because I'm going to get as far in Luke 12 and still trying to complete it if we can and if the Lord leads us. So back to Luke chapter 12, Jesus came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled, Luke 12, 49. So this fire, Jesus has lit the fire. It's like the pilot light is lit, but it's not the stove, the oven, whatever, is not fully ablaze. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. How I wish it was aroused. How I wish it was ablaze. Because God the Father is holy, and so is Jesus. But thank God that the fire is not ablaze yet, because verse 50 tells us, Jesus says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. So in between the first coming of the Lord, when he first came, he had to do what? He had to die. He had to suffer. He had to die. That's the baptism that verse 50 is talking about. This baptism that he had to be baptized with is to pay the price for our sins. All right. So then he lets us know he was distressed until that was accomplished. So that was a burden, we could say, on Jesus all the way to Calvary. He was distressed thinking about Calvary. And we can certainly, to some degree, relate to that. Verse 51, do you suppose I came to give peace on earth? Well, yeah, that's what we hear all the time. But there's more to this Bible. That's why we need the whole Bible. Do you suppose I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Now, let me say this. There's peace. We have peace with God if we're on the right side with Jesus. If you're on the wrong side, there's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. So a division comes by Calvary through Jesus. What you gonna do with him? So Jesus lets us know in verse 51, he came to divide, separating the wheat from the chaff. He's separating. Now let's go real quick. We may and we may not. We'll see what happens. But let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, because this entire chapter, chapter 25, is judgment, is separating. Matthew 25, they're waiting for Jesus. Matthew 25, they're supposed to be working. They're supposed to be preparing. And then judgment comes and division comes. So Matthew 25, there are three big sections in this chapter. Verses 1 through 13, and I'm going to ask you to read this chapter, Matthew 25, on your own. Matthew 25, 1 through 13, is the parable of the 10 virgins. That's the name of that parable, the parable of the 10 virgins. So those of us who know this parable, it tells us in verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, it's a parable. You have these 10 women here. They take their lamps. They go out to meet the bridegroom, who is a type of Jesus. Well, who would go out to meet the bridegroom? Who's looking for Jesus to come again? We would say Christians, but we would also say, well, that's church talk. It's church people who are talking about Jesus is coming again, and we're going out to meet the bridegroom. So let's keep it with church folks, those who go to church. And church people need to hear this, because there's going to be a division even amongst church people. And I'm one of them. So I want to be on the right side, and so do you. So we got 10. They took their lamps, went out to meet the bridegroom. Here comes division. Now, 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. So there's your division there. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. But the wise took oil. But while the bridegroom was delayed, you know, he went away. He was delayed. They all slumbered, all 10 of them, and went to sleep. And at midnight, a cry was heard. The bridegroom is coming. That's what the church is supposed to be saying now. The bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said, give us some of your oil. But the wise answered, no, lest we don't have enough oil. Verse 10. And while they went to buy some oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready, isn't that what Luke 12 told us? You got to be ready. You ain't going to have time to go buy no oil or get ready. We have to live ready. And so verse 10, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other ones came. And they said, Lord, open to us. Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And I wanted to say that because it's not just the world that's going to be judged. It's also, and I'm going to use the word church, because in church, in the local church, not the true church, but the local church, you have saved people in there and you have lost people in there, but they're all members of a church. But there's a division going to come even among the church group. And so those who were ready, they went. Those who were not ready, they were left behind. The next parable, division, and this parable is in verses 14 all the way down to verse 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. And see, that's Jesus away now. You know, we're living in between the first and second coming of the Lord. So Jesus is that man traveling to a far country. He called his servants. He delivered his goods to them. And that's the steward that we read about in Luke 12. He delivered his goods to them. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each one, according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who received the 5, he did what he did, And the two did what, and then it goes on. Verse 19, after a long time, and see, for us today, it's been over 2,000 years since Jesus left here. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. That's judgment. So he who received five came and brought five other talents and said, Lord, you delivered to me five. I gained five more. His Lord said to him, well done. This is judgment. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And the same thing happened with the man who had two talents. But then we come down to the man who had one. Verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent said, Lord, I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. So he gave back to the Lord that same talent. He didn't do nothing. You know, that's why we got to be busy working. If you're saved, you should be doing. Verse 26, but his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown. And then it goes on, and verse 30 says, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's a division there. And then the final division in this chapter, verse 31. This is the parable of the sheep and the goats. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, that's the second coming. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, we have 3 minutes, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them. There's that division. He will separate them, one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And you all can read the rest of that passage. In our last few minutes here, let's go back to Luke chapter 12. So Luke chapter 12, we see this division that Jesus talks about. And he said, he lets us know there will be division, sometimes even in your family. Now, that doesn't mean that every mother will be against every daughter, but sometimes your belief in Jesus will bring division even in the family. Sometimes it can bring it even in the church, because you can hear little things like, well, them people who got the biggest Bible in the world. Well, what's wrong with that? If you got a big one, that's a good thing. You know, see, that's a little trying to divide those people who read their Bibles more against those who don't. And so division comes on all kinds of ways. Verse 54, 1 minute we have. Then he said to the multitudes, when you see a cloud, you know what's going to happen. When you see the south wind blow, you know what's going to happen. Verse 56, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. Question, and we'll pick up here next week. And I want you to answer this question for yourself. How is it that you do not discern this time? So your homework for this week, other than reading Genesis, Exodus, and Matthew, what time is it? You all discern what's going on in this earth. What time is it? The south wind is still blowing, bringing in heat. But spiritually, what time is it? We are to not be naive. We're to see what's going on this earth. So that's what we need to do. I want you to think about what time is it? And then verse 57, yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right? So I want you to think about as well, thinking about what's going on in this earth. Things are changing on this earth. What is right and what is wrong? And you have to make that division based on the word of God and stand for what is right. Blessed God, our Father, we thank you that you are our everlasting foundation. The word of God is sure and settle, and your word will stand when the world's on fire. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will last forever. So help us to build our foundation securely upon the rock Christ Jesus. Help us not to be moved and tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but help us to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Keep us in this week. Be with us till we meet again in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen, Sister Velma. Good word.
Amen. Good word.
Yes. Amen. God bless you.
Yes.
You all got some homework.
Yes.
And then I want you to spend time on verses 58 and 59. Who it's a parable. Who are those people? What is it talking about? So that's, we'll end Luke 12 next week. Lord willing. God bless you.
Bless you.
Bless you too.
Everyone have a great week.
Bless you, everyone.
Keep me in prayer.
We got you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
For you. Thank you, Catherine. God bless you. Have a good week.
Have a great week, Velma.
Thank you. Thank you. I received that.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was I've got Miss Sadie on the line as well.
Hi, Sister Sadie.
You hear Miss Sadie?
Good lesson. I appreciate you, teacher.
Thank you. Stay on the right side.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Bless the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and.
God bless everyone.
Thank you for opening the word to us.
Very good.
Thank you. I pray, Lord, help me. Is London online with us? She may have left already. But God bless
her. I didn't recognize her, Sister Sanders.
Did you put it in the chat?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, we're not going to cross her off yet. But she says she was with us every week, so we got to figure out how she's been identified.
Yeah, there's a couple of iPhones I can't tie to. Okay. I'll do it next week.
Okay. God bless you. Okay, I'm going to check off.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a great week.
You too.
Thank you.
There's Barbara Freeman. Hi, Barbara. I just saw you. Glad to see you. And there's Joe. And Diane, I can see your picture. Okay, bye-bye, everybody. I'm going to church now. Virtually.